Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Fix your camera, Leroy. Tobin and Leroy back with you here on FM 104.3 WQAM. And very excited to talk to our next guest. Joins us in studio, the voice of your Florida Panthers right here on WQAM as the Cats win a wild one last night, Leroy, 8-5 over the Canucks. Doug Plagan's joining us here. Hello, Doug. How are you?
What's going on? How cool is this?
Yeah. Very excited to have you.
Yeah. Usually we see you in your house.
Yeah, this is awesome.
It's awesome to have you. That was a wild one last night, man.
It was. I was just telling Leroy before we jumped in here, it almost felt like two or three different hockey games in one, the way that it started. The Panthers fell behind early, and it wasn't for a lack of execution or anything like that. Vancouver just came out, cashed in on some early opportunities, even though the Panthers had some good pressure. Stuck with it, as we've seen, has been a kind of a hallmark trait of this team in recent years. They really don't panic, and we saw that again last night. And, you know, that's a trait that they've had for a while. And got that big lead, then Vancouver battled back, and the Panthers ultimately ended up pulling away at the end. So again, there was a little bit of everything in that game last
Do you
night.
Like calling games like that? All of the goals, is that exhausting? You've gotten used to the Paul Ball style and low score. We had this a few years ago when they were high-flying, scoring all the time. Did you miss it? Did you harken back a couple of years to a game like that?
You know, from our perspective, and you always hear players sometimes enjoy playing in games like that because the Panthers set a franchise record last night with 16 different players getting a point,
Jeez.
Including Sergei Bobrovsky. I heard that from the folks on Sirius XM early this morning. That was a team record that 16 different Panthers had a point last night, and even Sergei Bobrovsky had an assist in the game. It is fun. High-event hockey is, as you'd say, but I guess we are fortunate in that the way this Panthers team has been constructed and the way that they've played the last few years, even when they're in low-scoring games, the Panthers games are interesting. Their low-scoring games are still fun.
Yes.
You can't say that about every team that we've seen over the last, over this era or going back to previous eras. Sometimes low-scoring games can be a little bit, low event. But
yeah,
that was a high-event game. We certainly had a good time with it, no doubt about that.
We were talking about this with you because, like, hockey, I mean, I'm sure you've been doing it your whole life. You've been getting ready for this and all that stuff. How the hell do you see the deflections? You call them so well all the time. These things are blasting shots. It's just little tip by, are you on binoculars? Like, did you just grow this hockey eye? How do you see this damn thing? The game's moving so damn fast.
Well, I appreciate it, first of all, and I'll admit there are times that I'm having to look at body language. A lot of times, first and foremost, players' body language will usually tell you what you need to know. And that
when they start celebrating, yes, you know, or he must have tipped.
You know,
if
just from the perspective of sometimes the puck goes in and out so quickly or it barely goes in the net, and a player's body language will usually tell you that, you know, they know when the puck went in, whether
right.
It's you see guys start to celebrate or you see somebody from the team that got scored on start to let up on the play because
right.
They know that the puck just went in the net. So a lot of times, just watch the players. That'll tell you what you need to know. But I'm very fortunate, and it's probably because he spent so much time in front of the net in the National Hockey League battling with defensemen, but Billy Lindsay has a really good knack for noticing A, that a deflection happened, and B, what that might have gone off of. And a lot of times what's happening in the booth is that deflection happens, the puck goes in, and even if I've caught it, Billy will grab the sheet and he starts pointing at a number.
So
it happens a lot. So yes, the teamwork does happen. Billy has an unbelievable eye for that, but it also just comes with doing a lot of games, the repetition, and I think you could probably say that about any profession out there, but you just start to get a feel for how things look, where the celebration starts. And let's say, you know, the guy who takes the shot isn't the one who's kind of leading the fist bump line over the bench, then you kind of know that the guy who is the first over leading that fist bump line
tipped it.
He knows he tipped it, or his teammates know he tipped it. So you get a feel for it that way.
I got to tell you, I've never seen a situation where they stop a goal. So, you know, instead of deflecting it, they go, oh, if you would have just left it alone, it was in the net. I've never seen that. So, like, is everybody on the ice that aware of that puck, holy smokes.
They do practice it a lot.
Oh, really?
Deflections are a thing that gets practiced a lot, and that's why, and Paul Maurice has used this terminology before, but with a player like Matthew Tkachuk, for example, and Sam Reinhart, one of the best in the business as well, there is an art to tipping pucks, but you can take it a step further, and a couple of these guys are so gifted with their hands and their skills with the puck, and Tkachuk and Reinhart are prime examples of this, but it goes beyond just deflecting a puck, and Paul Maurice has said they almost steer it. It takes it to a different level. They're so good with that part of the game. But in the modern era, the goalies have gotten so good, and the goalies are only getting bigger. I mean, it seems like, you know, we're looking at 6'3 and 6'3 and up for the size of these goalies, which comes with huge wingspan. The days of, a Mike Vernon, for example, going back to the 90s or somebody like that who, was a 5'9, 5'10 goaltenders, you just don't see those as much. And when you see a goaltender who's listed at, for example, 6 foot even, he almost gets viewed a little bit on the smaller side as far as the game goes.
It blew
now.
Me away when I first met Bob. I was like,
he's tiny.
You're not, you see all that gear, but you're 6'1", slim, and all of these goalies now are enormous.
They're only getting bigger, it feels like. And you're starting to see goaltenders that are, like I said, 6'3 seems to almost be in the middle nowadays, and you're seeing more and more 6'4, 6'5, even goaltenders getting into that 6'6 range, which when you have a guy that big who then is going to have a wingspan that big and then is going to have equipment that needs to be that big to accommodate him, it's tough to find openings. It's tough to find a window to shoot at, and that's why these deflections, especially in the playoffs and in the big games and against teams that defend really well, it's become such a huge part of the sport.
Go ahead, Leroy.
I'm just – the other thing is it just me, because I don't watch as much hockey, but it seems like they go to the empty net a lot sooner than they were before?
So that – it's a good observation, because it definitely has been the case.
Like 5 minutes left, they go, boom, goalies. I'm like, wait a minute, we still got a quarter of the – period.
It almost used to be, if you go back to like the 90s, for example, it was kind of like the unwritten protocol that you'd get down to about a minute and a half left, a minute left, you'd pull your goalie. And it kind of changed. You go back maybe a decade when Patrick Waugh had his first tour of duty as a head coach when he was coaching the Colorado Avalanche. And again, you go back about a decade and you started to see coaches kind of just trust their gut, the feel. How's the game going? If my top guys are rested and I feel like maybe we're coming out of a media timeout and there's, 5 minutes and change left and I'm just feeling good, maybe that's our opportunity and we're going to get the goalie out. And it does change the dynamic in how a game is played, too. If a team's down one and all of a sudden you go that route, you play that card, if you will, it can send a jolt of momentum into a team. You might have your group with your top guys rested. You might calculate it to where, okay, my top guys are rested, their top checking unit is not. So I have a good opportunity with the matchup late in the game that I want to get to try and tie this thing up. It's not as rigid as it used to be, where you would have coaches, okay, minute and a half left, let's start to think about getting the goalie out, and we'll do it that way. We've seen it now routinely. Some coaches have really taken it to different levels. I mean, you'll see it occasionally 5 or 6 minutes left, desperate times call for desperate measures, and a coach will pull his goaltender.
I got to get my hockey stuff out, because when I ask him a hockey question, he gets mad at me. right?
You ask very specific questions.
No,
dude. No, you have like these very situations that
because
are
I'm trying to learn.
That was a very was a fine question. Like you didn't ask like, does that happen? But also,
no.
if you're on the power play, does that count?
Here's the other thing.
You got like you got rule 41A-2. Like that's what the things that he asked me. And
so,
I'm like, dude, I don't know.
Did you know if you're in overtime and you go empty net and you lose, you don't get
no
a point.
Yeah,
I like I'm like. Holy smokes.
Yep.
Why?
And that came into play in recent years.
Why, remember I asked you about it last year.
Yep.
And they said, we need 2 points. Like, we need 2 points.
Which, that can happen. And there, you know, there was a specific incident. We're going way back. There was a game in the late 80s where the New Jersey Devils went into overtime against Chicago late in the game. And I think a guy that a lot of folks have come to know as an analyst, Darren Pang, was actually the goaltender for Chicago in that game. But the Devils and the Blackhawks went to overtime. It was either late in the, it was late in the season, may have even been the last game of the season. The Devils needed 2 points to make the playoffs. The 1 point for getting into overtime wasn't going to do it. So they had to win. And you might get into situations like that where that second point means so much. And you look now, too, across the league, that's partially why it's so difficult to make up ground and why really the worst thing you can do in the National Hockey League is have a dreadful start. You want to at least come out of the gate and be in the middle of the pack and at least tread water and do what you need to do to accumulate points. Because if you fall behind to try and make up ground when you have all these three-point games, especially in a season like this where I don't know that we've seen – I know a lot of folks like to use the word parity. You hear the phrase competitive balance used a lot, and I think that's almost more of what we have here, and it's that all these teams truly night to night are capable of beating each other. I can't remember a season where you go into it, and I know everybody's going to always say the right things, but you go into it, and we can all look at it, and we know who the contenders are, who the teams in the middle are. We know what teams probably, for lack of a better way to put it, have a better chance at the draft lottery at the number one pick than they do it at winning the Stanley Cup. This year, you go into the season, there's like 27 out of 32 go into this thing, probably with realistic playoff aspirations and some sort of expectation that if it isn't met, there's going to be questions that have to be asked. I don't know that we've seen a season like this in a long time where you have so many teams that are in it. And that's where these 3-point games come into play and why if you fall behind, it's tough to make up ground. I guess it's a really lengthy way of answering why night to night, it's important to try and get those 2 points any way you can. And sometimes you get into spots where you absolutely have to have the 2 points.
Is it more important now with the injuries and the guys trying to – and so many guys called up aware just to stay afloat? And try to stay within reasonable distance from the top of the division or the conference because you know when those guys come back, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to kind of get that charge going.
Yeah, you know, the Panthers, if we're just taking it to the Panthers' perspective here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
At this point in the season, they've done a really good job of that. They're a couple of games over 500, a lot of home games coming up here, so there's a good opportunity to make a move. And I know I mentioned it with Hawk and Crowder the other day, but there are a lot of teams out there. And it just goes back to, first of all, how strong the leadership group in the room is. This team's won back-to-back Stanley Cups, been to 3 straight Cup Finals, and there's nobody sitting here comfortable with just what they've accomplished in the past. Mm-hmm. These guys know what they can do and that they're in the middle of a contending window that spans years into the future with how many key players are signed. It speaks to what Paul Maurice has been able to instill as far as a system that is picked up. Guys know what to expect. They know what the standards are. They know what to go out and do each night. And it speaks to what Bill Zito's been able to build here as far as the roster goes and the organizational depth. There are a lot of teams out there. If you were to take their top line center, another all-star forward who's a point-of-game guy, a regular defenseman that played in the cup run last year, two-thirds of their fourth line, we're talking about Tomasz Nosek and Jonah Gadjevich from the playoff run last year. If you were to take these guys out of the lineup, and you could take just the two guys, the two all-star forwards out, but going beyond that, the five players I just mentioned, a lot of teams, if you took that out of their lineup, they're prepping for the draft lottery.
Yeah.
The party's over.
Right.
But what the Panthers have been able to do here, to say they're in it is an understatement.
Yeah.
They're right in the thick of this thing. It's a team that still has elite players up and down the lineup, whether it's, you know, elite players in the league, guys who are elite at the roles that they're filling. It's the Panthers are in a great spot right now, even with these players out and with hopefully returns down the road on the horizon, still very much a wait and see with all of these players, an opportunity to get some reinforcements perhaps down the road.
What your first full season calling Brad Marchand every single night. This has been an unbelievable run that it's been on, but what are the things that just stand out about him every night that you watch and you just appreciate that maybe you didn't when he was on Boston?
Yeah, on the ice, the things that we knew with the Boston Bruins, you knew about the fact that he played with that emotion and it was infectious and his teammates fed off it. So you knew about that. You knew how good of a penalty killer he is. Maybe the best penalty killing forward of this generation. Not just, you know, in Bruins history, not just, you know, he's one of the best penalty killers the game's ever seen. Unbelievable hands. And Paul Maurice has talked about this too, but
he does love his hands.
His giftedness. He's so gifted offensively and in tight spaces. It's really impressive to watch. And at this, you know, he showing no signs of slowing down. And then you take it a step further, and we're fortunate to be around these guys at the practice rink, and whether it be on road trips, whatever the case may be. For a guy who's been in the game this long, who is a future Hall of Famer, the attitude he brings every single day, he knows when to keep things light, but he also plays with, you know, an unmatched intensity. I asked Evan Rodriguez the same question the other day, just to, you know, he's still one of the newest Panthers, Brad is, because he just came at the deadline last year, but he was obviously involved in the cup run, and Evan said one of the things you appreciate is just seeing how much he loves and just values doing this every single day. And it just, that's something that rubs off on everybody. So it's been special to watch him play every single night. And it's a really rare instance now that we're seeing where he's, when it's all said and done, and, you know, the way he's playing, no signs of slowing down. We're talking years down the road, but when it's all said and done, he's going to be absolutely beloved by two different fan bases, which is a rare situation for an athlete. You know, a lot of guys might be beloved in one place, have a little bit of success somewhere else, contribute to something. But this guy's going to be absolutely beloved in two different places. And
won championships
don't
in both
that.
Places. Like, I didn't realize how just fast and just he's all over the place. Because a lot of times people say, oh, I hate that guy. He's a menace.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of guys like that, they play a different style of hockey. He does. He's that. He's an antagonist. But the style of hockey, he's not like, a bruiser or anything like that. He is. It's fun.
He knows the game within the game. And the same way that Matthew Tkachuk, I thought, coming into the year or coming in just, I've thought since he was a Panther that there's really nobody who knows the game within the game, maybe who has his finger on the pulse of a game better than Matthew Tkachuk when you talk about knowing when the perfect time to lay a big hit is, the perfect time to, you know, try and turn the momentum of a game. He just knows exactly. He's just so dialed in. Brad's that same kind of guy.
Doug Plagans joining us here in studio. Before we get you out of here, a couple big ones coming up. You got New Jersey's having a hell of a season. Yep. They're coming up on Thursday, and then
Jack Hughes, the freak injury that happened there.
And then you got the cup rematch coming up on this week. Is there one out of those two you're more looking forward to, or just kind of see where this team is at?
They're both important games. I think you look at the New Jersey game, even without Jack Hughes for the better part of a couple of months, what they're saying, it's still a very talented team and a team that's going to be playoff bound. If somehow New Jersey didn't make the playoffs, then there was a collapse that took place. So it's I know we overuse people in our seats overuse the phrase measuring stick game sometimes, but these are, you have to look at them that way in a sense, because I mean, don't look now. We've already played about a quarter of the season. We're getting close to that that mark of the year. 25% of this thing's flown by faster than I think anybody could have ever envisioned because the condensed schedule, the Olympics this year, everything like that. So you do need to look at games like New Jersey coming up, a team that you may run into down the road in a playoff matchup, something like that. But always interesting with Edmonton. It's gotten to be that way, obviously. A history, to say the least, between these two, and the Panthers have beaten them in the Cup Final back-to-back years, and Edmonton not having the type of season they would like to be having
look at
right
the
now.
Do you think, because I'm not following them day-to-day, like, are they going through a lot of just the fatigue of the runs, too, you think that's happening, or are there other struggles that they're dealing with?
They had a tough start last year. If we're talking about it right now, I don't love the supporting cast of the roster that they have now. I haven't loved the supporting cast. I've been fine. If I'm looking at it from Edmonton's perspective the last couple of years, I couldn't say I was ever more than fine with the supporting cast that they had. I thought the supporting cast, and when I say the supporting cast, I mean the guys who aren't McDavid, Draisaitl, Evan Bouchard. So I think the first year the two teams met in the Cup Final, the series that went to seven, I thought that Edmonton's supporting cast was the strongest in that of these three seasons in that year. I thought it was the strongest. Last year, I thought it was a little bit of a notch below the previous year. And this year, I think there are some unknowns. There are some young guys, some guys that maybe haven't turned the corner yet. And, you know, it's a team that has had some slow starts in recent years. And, I mean, Leroy, you might be able to speak to this more, just knowing what a pro athlete goes through and the grind of everything. But in their scenario, to go all the way to the finish line, back-to-back years, and then fall just short, and then have to wind it all back up and try to do it all over again. I mean, that has to take a bit of a toll.
The biggest problem with all of it is that you bring, you know, the whole organization comes out with this plan to beat the Florida Panthers, but all the other teams are doing it too. So the next team that you might have to face to win a Stanley Cup might not be the Florida Panthers, and now you've gotten ready for a team that's not there. And it just keeps, you know, it's so rare for a team to go to three straight finals in anything. So to say you are getting ready for them, it's not like Florida getting ready for Tampa or Florida with Carolina, right? This is totally different. There's a lot of good teams out there, and I give you a perfect example. We went 15-1. We lost to Atlanta in overtime, which till this day drives me crazy. We figured we're that good. We'll come back this next. Next year, we're okay. We got to the playoffs. Guess who we ran into? The greatest show on turf. We were up 27-20. So we go in at halftime. No bigs. Go finish this. I'll go to the next one. We lost 49-27.
Jesus.
We think we're getting ready for Denver and we're getting ready for Atlanta. And here comes the greatest show on turf who had a run of 3 or 4 years. That's how sports is crazy. And that even when we project, when we project NFL season or what team's going to be good or not, we always forget about the teams getting better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We only think about the teams we saw last year. Who's going to be that team that comes out of nowhere that finally puts it all together like the Panthers did 3 or 4 years ago? There's going to be a couple of those teams. There are going to be a couple teams.
Hey, that's you always have to remind yourself there are 31 other teams trying to win this thing too.
Yes!
And the Panthers, so what the Panthers are doing is absolutely historic. And then you have the short off season. So how do you recover? How do you overcome the short off season and not having that time to heal? Well, it's a lot easier to deal with when your short off season is full of parading the Stanley Cup around and you get to experience that, and then you get to have everything, and you get to raise a banner. Yeah. Imagine being the Edmonton Oilers and playing all the way to June 24th 1 year, and then playing all the way to June 17th the next year, and all you have is a couple of conference championship banners to show for it. That has to take a toll.
I think that this team is kind of feeling the wear and tear a little bit as far as the Panthers, but they've done a good job of getting other guys in, give them a chance to get healthy. I think the biggest issue is you can just see some of the injuries that they're having. It's like muscular. like with Kachuk, groin. It's not bone stuff. It's like groin because you've just been going at it for so long. These guys have played almost an extra season of hockey. So, and everybody else has played three seasons of hockey. They've played enough games for four. So just imagine adding an extra year. It catches up and you have to be, you know, safe. They're in really good shape because I've never looked on the ice and go, that guy's taking a break. Like, I've never seen
it. No, they play hard.
Right, they play hard. And to do that, it takes a different type of person to be able to go through that. And Paul Maurice just has a way of getting it out of him. It's hard.
You look at Anton Lundell, for example. He's a fifth-year guy who basically has played 6 years in the NHL because you add up basically a full season's worth of playoff games.
He's also the most spoiled young player in the NHL.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. 5 years. I've been to three Stanley Cups. This is easy league.
Catch Doug play against Thursday night. Cats and Devils. You can hear that right here on QAM. Doug, appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to see you guys in person.
Great to see you. We'll take a break. Get you caught up with your headlines. Back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.